The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to offer you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give them the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's always entertaining when you are in Mass, distracted, and you hear something like this. We're reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. "Oh, stupid Galatians," opening words right off the bat. The letter to the Galatians is one of the more entertaining letters. It's a fairly combative letter. It's one of the earlier letters of St. Paul. It's one of the first places on his first missionary trip when they left Antioch. It was kind of the area of Turkey where the original churches were. And St. Paul went there, preached, worked miracles, did his thing, left. And shortly after he left, what became kind of an ongoing pattern happened. Was he left, and other people, Christians, quote-unquote, but who believed that the idea was this. In certain circles of the earliest church, there was a thought that we needed to begin, okay, start by becoming a Jew, get circumcised, enter into the covenant, and then progress through Judaism, and then get baptized as a Catholic, and then progress on into Christianity and live the Mosaic Law. And St. Paul, having been a Pharisee, is saying, absolutely not. We left this behind. And this is kind of the context of what he's writing, of what he's preaching about, writing about, rather. So it says, "Who has bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit from the works of the law or from the faith in what you heard?" What St. Paul came from and what he's kind of arguing against, I think the easiest comparison would be, for us New Yorkers, think of the Hasidic Jews, okay? That is the modern day equivalent of righteous Jewish people trying to follow the law scrupulously and living the Pharisaical code and whatnot. That's what he's talking about. Now, I mean, some of us were just on the airplane and we witnessed, you know, can't sit next to a woman, can the entire plane turn and stand on its head so that we can get ourselves organized and everything. There's something to be respected there. When people are willing to make sacrifices in order to fulfill what we believe is God's will. And that's the merit of the old law. That's the merit of Judaism, is it was a law given by God that would make the Jewish people different on purpose, so that they would not be the same as everybody else, so that they would start forming an identity, and that identity was built around, we are chosen by God, and we don't do the same stuff. If these people over here eat this, we'll eat the opposite. If these people get up at this time, we'll get up at some other. If these people pray this way, we're going to pray another way. God set up this really complex matrix of practices and everything specifically to make them different so that they wouldn't easily fall into all the pagan practices and surroundings around them. And you can see how well that went over. It took them, you know, it wasn't until after the Babylonian exile, after they for hundreds of years kept on breaking the rules in the Holy Land, and finally God sent them away for 70 years to exile in other countries. And they came back you know, humiliated with hardship and everything. It wasn't until they'd been through all that that they started saying, you know what, we're simply going to follow God's rules. So, amen to that. That form of our faith, and there's a Catholic version of that, it's the rule followers. Okay? People, there's a brand of Catholicism that is maybe sometimes the goody-goodies, you know, like the people that never, in a sense, break the rules, which is a good thing, but don't necessarily love. That's the danger. The danger of being a rule follower is you can become self-righteous, you can get a mistaken view of God that he's the policeman wondering, you know, just making sure everyone's following the rules. As long as we understand the rules being, you know, this action in this moment under these circumstances. Now, if we understand the rules being this, to live the virtues, to allow the Spirit to flourish, and to live, to be guided by the Holy Spirit in each moment, and to love greatly, if we understand that Christ's commandment in John chapter 15, this is my command, love one another as I have loved you. No greater love has any man than to lay down his life. But we understand that is God's rule, then it's a different story altogether. That's ultimately the new covenant that Christ wants to bring around. In fact, Thomas Aquinas, greatest theologian of all time, arguably, when he writes about in the section on grace, he puts it in the context of this is the new law. We had the covenant, the old covenant of Judaism. The new covenant is sanctifying grace. Interesting. It's no longer, as the prophet said, written on tablets of stone. It's written on the human heart. It is docility to the action and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit to learn how to love. St. Augustine would say, love and do as you please. Now, there's a very big asterisk. The word love needs to be put bold and underlined. Then you can do as you please. If you are a person who is a saint, who lives out of love, who is filled with God and his Holy Spirit, then you can do as you please, because the only thing you're going to please is to do God's will. The unfortunate thing is we can very easily say, do as you please, and you'll be doing God's will. We can flip that, and then we're in trouble, right? That's basically hedonism or some other ism that's not very good. And that, I think, pretty much summarizes what St. Paul is talking about. To live the faith the way Paul's talking about it is to truly be liberated. It is freeing. The reason why the church says we can't do so many of the things that naturally we think are fun, you know, barbarian mode, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, right? Remember that? That was the famous triad of the 60s. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. The reason why Christ doesn't want those things is because they enslave us. A person who lives a life of sex, drugs, and rock and roll will be enslaved to those things, incapable then of, you know, it's an addiction. It is degrading. It is a selfish form of living. It's truly freeing when we can be men and women who learn who have already died to ourselves and are free then to simply give, to simply love, to simply do the right thing, regardless of what it costs us. And that's the life and the Spirit that St. Paul is talking about. So, as we are continuing across these lands that Paul preached in, this is a grace that I think we can ask of ourselves, or ask God for all of us on our pilgrimage. You know, hopefully this pilgrimage is, for each of us, a true spiritual pilgrimage and not just a tour, right? So let's continue with this Holy Mass and ask our Lord through the intercession of St. Paul to give us each that grace. Father and Son, Holy Spirit, amen.